the government printing works, Umem Moyo, and the chief financial officer, and then to take us through their annual report. You may proceed if you are ready.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Morning to everyone in the room. Thank you. I'll be presenting the GPW report. I'd need your guidance, Chair, whether I can still go through the normal slides or go straight to the performance. But the slides before us speaks to our mandate as a government component established in 2009. It also indicates that we report to Minister of Home Affairs and account to yourselves as the portfolio committee responsible for Home Affairs. And our mandate is to deliver security printing and related services to government. In terms of contribution to the national outcomes, those are the four outcomes that GPW, by virtue of being under Home Affairs and under the security cluster, we do our work within. And page 5 is our vision, our mission, and our values, as indicated there. Members, we brought this slide, which was never brought, to give you an indication of the history of GPW since it was established as a government printer in 1888. And the journey it went in, that in 1891 it was struck by lightning and burned to the ground and rebuilt from scratch. In 1894, expansion of the work there, as a result, where we are at the factory in Bosman, Public Works that purchased us building to assist GPW. In 1976, we were established as a trading company, which allowed us to be VAT registered. In 1994, there was a consolidation of all the printers in the various states, including the former independent, into one. GPW restructured in 1996. In 2013, we were the project managers of Home Affairs with a smart ID card. 2009, IJEPT is when we were established as a component. 2014, where we have produced, was the first time that we exceeded the 1 million mark of production of smart ID cards. In 2015, there was an introduction of the e-gazette, which we will report in terms of production of that. And 2015, where we are now, is we are basically enhancing, we are strengthening GPW, we are enhancing security, we are digitizing GPW to make sure we can perform as the state security printer. Page 7 is a summary of our performance for this financial year with 28 targets. We achieved 22. There are 6 that we did not achieve. And our overall performance is 79%. The next slide, we speak to the 6 that we did not achieve. The first branch, production and operations, had planned to have 3 equipment purchased. 2 were purchased. The third one, the craft press, we did not purchase because only one tender submitted a bid, and the budget, their costs went 200% from what we budgeted, so we decided not to award. What we then did was to relook at the specifications that were put there, rework them. We did find that the supply chain officials who had put specifications were more than what we actually require. So we reworked and we reissued the tender, which is now going to be reported under the current financial year. We've already completed that process. Under the branch strategy management, the implementation of security risk management according to approved plan, this relates mainly to physical security. 80% of the targets were implemented, and the reasons were that out of the 20 that's remaining, 11 of them are dependent on the construction of the GPW head office, which is also known as APSA building, as well as the master plan. The master plan is a process that is managed by Public Works, that is to the value of 1.2 billion. On our side, they were doing the professional work. We signed it off. We went through with them, signed it off. It is still sitting with them. So we are meeting Public Works to say, if they manage project, they must stick to the time that we've agreed on. But we do have a challenge with Public Works. The remaining 9% is basically what the AG mentioned, that tasks are not finished on the before the year end. So what gets reported is progress, because there will be one or two things that are standing. But to the AGs, if you're not done by 31st, even if you're done in April, I'm not going to consider it. But we are correcting it, Chief. 90% of annual internal audit plan is approved. 71 was done. The reasons why we didn't do the balance is audit relating to construction of Pavilion 3. The audit committee requested us to, it was not in the initial plan, they added it in one of the committee meetings and said we should do audit of that Pavilion 3. It cost us 130 million and they were concerned that we need to just make sure everything, both from a project management point of view, administration, as well as finance, that we are on board. So we couldn't conclude the construction by 31st March. It's currently ongoing. We will report it as part of this financial year, but we missed the reporting on time. The second one was the issue of ICT. We had our CIO resigning in September, and who's the chief director. His second direct report was a deputy director. So we had to ask the deputy director to act into a chief director post. So capacity issues has made us to pay dearly. Now we do have a CIO, we do have a director, and we do have a deputy director. So the capacity has now been built. The issue around business continuity could not be conducted is because GPW does not have a 100% continuity. We've got a disaster recovery and continuity for production. But the AG was saying, even though that's for core business, it needs to be there for HR, for finance. So currently the different branches are working out their own business continuity in case of any emergency, that operations will continue nevertheless. Then the audit people did not complete the transport and logistics, and we do know that one person, their auditor resigned, the other one went on extended maternity for medical reasons, so that affected our plan. Chair, I must mention that the comments that were made by members on Tuesday that we need to capacitate our own internal audit is one issue that we're also working on. We do have a functioning internal audit with 11 people headed by a director, but we've picked up that if they were more capacitated and functional, the things that Auditor General is raising should have been picked up earlier. So we are, and that internal audit reports to my office. So we will. With regard to finance, clean audit, we did not meet this one, and it doesn't make us proud. The Pavilion 3 contract is still continuing from when it started. It's ending in December 2017. We have applied to Treasury, as we have reported before this committee, for condonation. There has been delays and delays. CFO wrote, I wrote, the minister wrote. We are continuing to push Treasury. They've asked for more information. They wanted proof that the accounting officer have taken consequential or corrective measures. We have given the proof. We are still waiting. Until Treasury condones this particular procurement, the irregular expenditure will continue to recur, and we know it will be up to the end of the current financial year. It cannot continue beyond because the project is ending in December 2017. With regard to SLAs, the target was that we'll conclude 10 SLAs with customers and 10 with suppliers. So a total of 19 SLAs were signed. We had a long discussion with AG about the word additional, because we were saying 10 versus 19, but they said, yeah, you put additional, so you should have a 20. We accept that, and we agreed that as management, when we write our APP, we will pay additional attention to how we word our APP so that we don't have challenges. In terms of our relationship with AG, they have even volunteered that the draft, they will look at it to make sure there's no ambiguities and targets that are not clear or are interpreted differently by AG and by us. Submitting documents for state-owned company to Parliament. Chair, this target we did not meet it, and I need to indicate that in the previous financial year, this target was there, and there was a bill that was prepared. It was initially called State Security Printers Bill. Inside that bill was two issues. One was the conversion of GPW from a government component into a state-owned entity, and the second part was to regularize the printing, security printing, and digitization of high state security documents for the Republic. And when I started acting in May, we continued with that process where the leadership that was there left. And we got the CS done by DPFME, we got the MOI done, we have engagement with DTI in terms of if we are an SOC, how do we make sure we don't fall in the same trap as other SOC and have challenges of governance. DTI and DPE even said, if you do go SOC, we are prepared to help you become an SOC without a board. So you'll have an advisory council. We've got it all in writing. Advisory council that doesn't interfere in the operations of the company, especially that we are a security institution. But in April of this year, we were redirected to separate the two into a SOC bill and into a state security printers bill, which we did. And where we are sitting now is that on the 21st of July, we went to cabinet with the bill and all the documents. However, there were concerns of when you are an SOC, how you going to manage governance. So there were governance issues that with all these challenges and the presidential review committee, why not wait for the work to be done and proper systems are in place so that you are not part of these challenges. We did present that DTI and DPE says we will not have the board, we'll have a different one, and it's advisory, you know. But then we were sent back to say we must come back and relook at the comments that we made. We then had engagements with National Treasury and DPSA, and they both said, look, if you want to pursue SOC, you can, but if you want to remain a government component, you can still address, because there are three problems that made the leadership of GPW decide they want the SOC. One relates to people, where the artisans at GPW are paid at like level four, when their counterparts are paid something equivalent to level 10 in the private sector. So GPW becomes a training ground, and then they leave. And there's been that fluidity all the time. So they, former leadership did approach DPSA twice to say, can we have a special dispensation? And twice it was rejected. So the only alternative to deal with that is if you are an SOC, then you don't need to operate within that framework. That's with people. With facilities, it related to the fact that GPW is a tenant to Public Works, and with Pavilion 1 and 2, we spent 250 million. Pavilion 3, we spent 230 million. Master Plan, we're going to spend 1.2 billion. In total, it comes to something like 1.7 billion. But we pay Public Works, they pay the provider. If we pay directly, we will be able to claim VAT, because we are a VAT registered entity, you know, just which we can invest back into the establishment, especially that we are not getting any funding from Treasury. So we've been engaging Public Works. The previous team engaged, and Public Works was not responsive. The only option was, if you come out of the public service, you are an SOC, then it means Public Works must transfer the property, and then you do it yourself. So the last one was finance. The Treasury directed that we use the modified cash system to account, but that is administration system that is used for administration. We are a business, so we've been using GAAP for the last 7 years. All of a sudden, they say, AG says, we're not auditing you. You must do what Treasury tells you. So we had a long discussion that for the last 5-6 years, you didn't raise an issue. Why do you raise an issue in May when you're supposed to start auditing? So we were in a bit of a difficult position. We went to the minister, who wrote to the Minister of Treasury saying, for this financial year, can you give us permission to use GAAP? Which we did get. Actually, we are appreciative that within a week they responded and they gave it to us, and the audit happened. That's the issue that was part of why they should be an SOC. But if you look at the three issues, if Treasury could give us for 1 year, it means they can give us permanent. So we don't have to change the institution and destabilize the organization. We can get a permanent one. We've engaged them. They are prepared to do it. We went back to DPSA and explained and to understand the reasons why they rejected, and they indicated that they had asked for information which GPW and Home Affairs did not give. We have since given it to them. They've indicated they will grant us not a special dispensation, because the department has decided they no longer issue them, but they will grant us what is called an organizational and special remuneration package. With regard to Public Works, we are still hitting the wall. So we had then reworked what was the initial business case. Next week, we're going to GNA and JCPS and Cabinet on the 16th to request them that, can we withdraw the SOC bill, and that Cabinet directs Public Works to grant us that request, directs DPSA, they've already said they'll do it, and we're already meeting and sharing information, but the same with Treasury, which therefore means a member said then there'll be no need for SOC, because all the issues that led to that problem can be solved within the current legislation. So as soon as Cabinet has considered the issue, we will then be directed by them whether they agree to our alternative option or they want us to pursue. We will take directive from them. I'm going to hand over to the CFO to speak to financial performance.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Members. I'm on slide 10. For the year under audit, the GPW accumulated or generated revenue just over 1.4 billion, and then a surplus for the year of 501 million. In terms of our key items on our statement of financial performance, we've got the non-current assets, which is your land and buildings, and production equipment, we had just 129 million. We have current assets, of which the bulk of it is sitting under cash. It's 2.3 billion. We had net assets, which is basically the reserves that we have accumulated over the years, because Treasury has given us permission to retain our funds to recapitalize the GPW. It's 2.4. Your non-current liabilities 561, and current liabilities just over 200 million. On slide 11, we just showed members the growth in revenue over the last 3 years, with the movement from 14-15 being 11%, and then movement between 2015-16 to 16-17 being 21%. In terms of the audit opinion, the GPW achieved an unqualified audit opinion with emphasis of matter. The emphasis of matter related to irregular expenditure. Cumulatively for the two financial years, it was 181 million, and that slide basically shows you the movement between the 2 years. I'll speak to the last point, the BE awards. This was a contract that was awarded for the construction of the Pavilion 3. Because the contract was awarded in 15-16 and it's finishing now in December, the contract was declared irregular, so all expenditures relating to it would then be irregular until the Chief Procurement Officer condones it. So that's why it's a recurring item. The rest of it, the first one is reasons recorded for not obtaining three quotations was not justifiable. In terms of what we documented in our submission to not obtain three quotations, the AG found that the reasons provided were not justifiable. There was also no reasons recorded in the submission where three quotations were not obtained. Then there was a deviation that was sent to Auditor General as well as the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer, where the GPW procured a software, but it did not go through competitive bidding. So within the PFMA delegation, they then wrote to Treasury and AG to say the deviation, to report the deviation. The AG found that the reasons provided for that deviation was not justifiable. And then the 338,000 for the fourth line was that there's a requirement for local content. So we bought furniture and textile, which is staff uniform, and we did not apply the local content. So that is the cumulative amount. Chair, there was an additional document we circulated, and it goes into detail on all the findings and the progress that we've made in with regard to the findings that the AG raised. I'm not sure if Chair will allow me to go through it or... Okay, Chair, to answer your question, the cumulative the award given to the contractor is 230 million for the project. So it covers, it then covers three financial years, which will be ending December this year. When we wrote to Treasury, we asked to condone the contract. So when the Treasury condones the contract, all payments relating to that will automatically then be condoned. So it doesn't speak to the financial years, but the actual tender amount. In terms of the audit intervention plan, what we did then post the audit, we then looked at the findings and presented this report to the GPW management. The accounting framework, I'm not going to speak to because CEO did go in detail when she spoke to the SOC bill, but it's basically that financial statements should achieve fair presentation. So for us to use the modified cash standard, which is a cash accounting, we are not going to give the user an adequate presentation of what the GPW does. So we've always been on the accrual system, and then hence we've asked Treasury, can we continue using GAAP, and then eventually we will then apply IFRS. AG raised the point to say that our fraud prevention plan was not adequately communicated, and with that in that regard, a communication plan has been presented to management where the relevant branch then continuously communicates through internal comms, through posters on the walls at GPW in terms of what the policy actually contains. Point three speaks to the irregular expenditure chair, which I'm not going to go through because we've just discussed it, but this is basically all the correspondence and what we have done in order to clear. For the current financial year, we've started the process of consequence management for the items that make up the 148 million. In terms of point four on page two of the document, the AG raised that our procurement policy is not in line with the National Treasury Practice Note, because our procurement policy said that for bids, you only go out over a million, whereas the SCM practice note says over 500,000. So we've reviewed the policy. In the month of October, we want to present the policy to the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer to also give in to put into the policy before we finally approve it. But in the interim, we have use the National Treasury Practice Notes to ensure that we do not incur additional irregular expenditure. In terms of number five on the plan, we've reconstituted our bid committees because our bid committees were not in line with what guidance the Treasury gave us. Point six on the publication of bids, we have now an agreement in place with our ICT department, which is the a custodian of our website, to ensure that once we award a bid or once we close a bid, that we publish the names immediately. Our policy also said that for bids above 10 million, that we must do request for proposal. So we have reviewed the policy, and that is the same policy I spoke to earlier, which we want to send to the Chief Procurement Officer. Point eight also speaks to the publishing of the winner on the website, and I've spoken to that. Point nine speaks to the deviation from competitive bidding, that there was a license that we bought in terms of the warranty for computer equipment, and we did not go on a competitive bidding process. We did contact suppliers on the CETA transversal contract, but we did not get quotes from all of them. So we only selected three, whereas we should have selected all, I think there was eight or nine. So AG then found that as being irregular. Under point 10, it's also a software we bought. The GPW uses a ERP system called Dynamics AX. We then needed a production module to look at job costing, estimates, where we record products within the system, work in progress, and so forth. We then just went through a deviation process to acquire Dynamics Print, which is a plug-in on the current system. AG found that the way we procured the system was not in line with the SCM prescripts, and then declared it irregular. So we have now written to Treasury to condone that amount, because we found that the process that we undertook was fair in acquiring the system. Under point 11, the AG found that there were no reasons were recorded and approved for not obtaining 3 quotes. Chair, I spoke to 11 and 12 as part of irregular expenditure, so I'm not going to go through those two. Then on page 4, in terms of number 13, our quotation that we sent, our request for quotation that we sent out did not include a condition to say that when you submit your quotation, you will be adjudicated on the 80-20 point system. So we have since corrected that. The request for quotation, our filing system basically on number 14 was not adequate, so certain documents was not readily available. So we would submit to AG and then they would request it, then we had to submit again. So we've basically designed a checklist for our SCM practitioners to make sure that when they give a payment badge or a document includes all the necessary documentation. Point 15, 16, it also speaks to irregular chairs, so I'm not going to go through those ones. Point 17 is then a deviations register. In terms of the SCM practice, we need to maintain a register of all our deviations that we keep. We did not have it. We then implemented it from August, but backdated from 1 April, so we went back and recorded all our deviations. On point 18, it also speaks to irregular chair, and we've subsequently corrected that, so I'm not going to. It forms part of our current irregular expenditure. As well as point 19. 18 and 19, it's the same finding, but just post recorded differently. Point 20, it's where there was no, AG found that our system, when the bids closed, they did not find comfort that there was a proper register in place to say company A, B, and C, and D all submitted bids for that tender. We've now said that internal audit must act as observer. We have now reworked the register so that at the time that the bids close, that there's a proper record. So when a bidder comes to submit a document, they would record it in that register, and security is there just to verify that as well. So when the bids close, we then look at that register, and that becomes our supporting document. Under point 21, there was no written delegation of authority in place, but that we have put in place since 25 July 2017. In point 22, the AG found 3 cases where our employees transacted with other government departments. So what we have done since then is that we've circulated a declaration of interest form. To date, only 2 employees responded to indicate that they have companies, but as a mitigating control, our GM responsible for HR will also be liaising with CIPC to check our employee ID numbers against what is in CIPC, just to make sure that we have a complete register of employees doing business. In point 23, AG found that there are our contracts did not stipulate a contract value. So this is where you have a variable contract. For example, you would appoint an outsourced internal audit function, and you will say our rate for a trainee is 300 rand, for a manager it's 500 rand. But you would not know the contract value in total because you are using them for a period, as and when you need them. So they found that we should have recorded to say trainee, auditor, 300 rand, manager, 500. So we have subsequently corrected that, Chairperson. Under point 24, the AG was not happy with our contracts. The way this particular contract read was that we are appointed you indefinitely unless either parties start the process of terminating the contract. So then AG found that it's a bit risky, so we have asked our legal services unit to review all our templates for SLA and contract management. Under point 25, there's a requirement that came into effect in June that says that all foreign suppliers need to get a tax clearance from SARS. So what we had at the time of the audit, there was one particular bidder that was from Netherlands, or for a machine. But at the time of awarding, the person did not have that. So when we explained to AG that we have not awarded the contract, we've just recommended the CEO must still issue the award, they said that, well, it's non-compliance, but before we then eventually issued the award, we did obtain their tax clearance certificate, so that matter has been attended to. And what we do now is with all our foreign suppliers, before we issue them with a purchase order, we would then verify that against SARS. Point 26 speaks to our bid specification. We did not have a formal bid specification committee, but we have now appointed it since September 2017. Under points 27 to point 37 speaks to payroll matters that the AG found. It was not highlighted in the audit report, but it's what they call administrative matters, which they have highlighted. I will just speak to a few of them, Chair. I will speak to the HR appointments in terms of 28. There's a requirement that we need to use SACWA to verify all qualifications. What we did in the past, we used LexisNexis, but now, since August, we've now used SACWA to do that. In terms of point 32 on overtime, there's a requirement from DPSA that when you exceed 30% of a monthly salary, you need approval from the minister. In the past, we did not get that approval, but since August, when this finding was raised, we have now followed that requirement. I will go to point 35 to say that there was a few discrepancies found with regards to basic salary testing, and we have now put controls in place to deal with that. Then, Chair, I would like to go to the last page then that speaks to number 46 and 47 relating to the ICT governance, that there was a lack of an approved policy for user access management, and ICT has now approved the procedure and the document is currently being reviewed. They hope to present the final policy to management in November. And then the last one is that the data center users' access reviews were not performed. So that is in progress, and the process is not documented. Because the process was not documented, it has now been documented, Chair. I will then go back to the presentation.
Thank you, Chair. We are now on slide 13. There are three more slides left, three including this one. We thought it was prudent to share with the committee, especially that there's been a lot of Hollywood acting at GPW for a while. What were some of the things? There are many challenges, Chair, that we must indicate we found. But we highlighted three that we thought we should share. One is that in the year that I've been there, there are problems with leadership and management capacity at SMS level, which has impacted in the ability of the organization to meet all its targets. We have had, or we still have, an acting CEO. The previous CEO's contract ended in November, and he left about 5-6 months before. So we've been acting, and my acting is ending this month, so I'm sure the executive authority will manage that to ensure that the post has been advertised. Hopefully the recruitment process will close and be finalized at the end of November. The CIO, who left in September, as I indicated earlier, that at the chief director level, so it means from October we had a deputy director leading ICT. It was the only senior person that I could work with, so I had to utilize him. We have now realized there are a few errors that we have made because of that capacity, but we now do have capacity, so we don't expect a recurrence of that mistake. the AMAS indicate that the CIO resigned. However, what I found difficult, I must say, as an acting CEO, is when we were directed by yourself to introduce disclosure of financial interest and vetting. And when we took that decision and started implementation, we were tabled with a resignation. With regard to the CFO, the CFO also left at the end of September. When I came in, one of the things I checked was how many people are on contract, how many people are permanent, and we found at SMS level that everybody else is permanent except the CEO and the CFO. However, the CFO was appointed by Cabinet as permanent in 2010. And when the letter of appointment was given to the CFO, he rejected it and said, no, I want a five-year contract because it affects my pension. At the time, the CEO, who was Tom Oyane, had a verbal discussion. The procedure would have been going back to Cabinet and said the incumbent that we want would like to have a contract for personal reasons. That didn't happen. Mr. Joe Engelbrecht, who's the GM operations, was the only senior person who acted. Himself and the HR team drafted that contract, which he just didn't sign it. And he operated from 2010 to the month I came in May with no contract, signing GPW financial things, billions and billions of money. I then set him down and said, look, this can't continue. I wrote a report to minister to say you have two options because you appoint CFOs. One is we advertise the post, but two, you can give him a contract, but you need to get Cabinet's approval. And the minister opted to advertise, and he did not apply. So we had to find somebody else to act, and we have now appointed Ms. Josephine Meyer, who started on the 1st of April. You know, permanent. So he's permanent from, and she's permanent. And ever since she came, and I'm not speaking to bluff, we can see this action list that has taken place. So we do expect, we might not, if we get the condonation of Pavilion 3, we do expect it in audit. If we don't get it, it means we're going to come back before you and say we have an unqualified. Everything else is done except one. But we are working on it. We are talking to Treasury to request them to expedite it, because the reasons for the irregular expenditure are highly technical. There's no fruitless. Nobody stole the money. I mustn't say nobody because I don't know what else happens, but in the records there was no fruitless. So it's a highly technical one, which I think management and the AG should have worked it out, because all they said is you didn't go to verify that somebody will not go over 20%. Now that is what has cost us what we have now. So that's the CFO issue. Then there was a position also, and I'm only going high level, DDG post. There was a post of General Manager Strategic Management, which manages legal, contracts, physical security, planning, strategic planning, monitoring of tasks, making sure people do what they said they would do. And the CFO who left had taken that branch under him and refused to fill the post. There was somebody who resigned, but for a period of 3 years, he did both DDG jobs alone. So when I came, I said, this post on the structure is approved. We're going to advertise. And there was a disagreement, but the delegation lied with me. And so we filled the post. We do have a general manager now at DDG who's responsible for that function. We are capacitating her, and she is done quite a lot since he started on the 1st of January this year. So all the key appointments that led to some of these challenges of the CIO, he came in July. GM strategy came in January. CFO came in April. So we do expect that capacity is there to do it. In terms of those that have led us to a lot of the issues of supply chain management, we do have a director who is who doesn't understand the public service. So he gets us to do things without three codes. We do bids without going tender that are over 500, and that's the majority of what AG has found. We are currently disciplining him. I wrote him from last year, November, I wrote him the first warning, sat down with him, explained why and what is expected. When CFO came on the 1st of April, she's already written one. So we are consequenting, he's on a contract. So if no improvement by the end of this calendar year, we have indicated we are going to part ways with him. And then the second one is the HR. We do have a GM HR at chief director level, which is an anomaly because other GMs are a DDG. However, we will resolve it following the DPSA process, who also doesn't understand the public service. It's dependent on assistant directors, dependent on deputy directors who've been there for 40 years, others 30 years, and just got one director who's been there for 22 years. But the fact that the head doesn't understand compliance issues has put us on a back foot. She's undergoing through the same process as the SCM person. The second one, the issue of compliance with Treasury, because a lot of the things that are being raised here are historic. For the last 3-5 years, the CFO with ESCO has worked out an action plan to deal with them. So we don't expect to come back before you, or GPW doesn't expect to come before you and lament on the same issues. In terms of management of leadership, I just keep to say we are now having performance agreements which were not there. We are now having quarterly assessments. We're having a management committee, which is all SMS members once a month. We're having a ESCO, which is all general managers with the CEO, and internal audit and risk, which means twice a month, in addition to your daily leadership and monitoring. With regards to organizational structure and filling of vacancies, AG raised that we have high vacancies, and as a result, it affected. They had a term that they raised yesterday about slowness in implementing. Yes, we have a high turn rate and high vacancy rate, also because of challenges with the GM's capacity to lead that unit. But secondly, is also because some of the posts that are required were the functions were created on the structure, but no posts. So we had to take a period to create some of the posts to make sure that the unit that deals with recruitment has got enough people. At the moment, there are only three people. It's a director with two admin officers, and they do recruitment for the entire GPW. What we have done to our system now while we implement the intervention of this cabinet process is to go on proper supply chain and appoint recruitment agencies. So we now have a panel of 5 recruitment agencies which we have signed off in September, whom can assist in the capacity to make sure that a post doesn't stay for 2 years vacant. It gets advertised and shortlisted after 3 weeks or some 3 months, some a year, because there's no one to do the work. The intervention links to what I explained before on the SOC, that when we get a special dispensation, we will then be able to add all those posts. So all the branches, sat and said, in order for me to perform to the expected level, what capacity do I need? I already have that, is what we are submitting to DPSA for them to grant us that special dispensation in line with the printing market. So levels will change, name post will change, salary will obviously be more because they are at the bottom of everybody else. We have appointed a service provider to assist us with that, to give us that high-level structure and do job evaluations, job levels. The first report is due on the 30th of October, the final report on the 30th of January for implementation in the 1 April 2018. In terms of our APP, we know we are bringing APP, but we thought we should tell you what keeps us up at night. First is that we have the South African passport. The current passport is coming to an end in terms of its life in 2019. It is a project on the APP of Home Affairs. They've appointed GPW to project manage it. So we are currently project managing a team that's got Home Affairs, State Security, GCIS, AXA, because you need AXA to have the infrastructure for us to have an e-passport, arts and culture, and many others. We need to make sure that South Africa is able to launch a new passport from 1 April 2019. A curb expenditure, irregular expenditure, and achieve a clean audit. We will continue to work with National Treasury and AG on this. Implement the organizational structure, which I've spoken about now, with DPSA. Strengthen our security in production. We are talking to SSA, but we're also talking to Banknote, and we're using them as a benchmark on how our production is meant to be. Certain things we've already implemented where cell phones are not allowed in there, in the production. Additional cameras have been put inside. Uniform is being changed to have no pockets. So there's a few things that we are doing to make sure that we don't have incidences where the security documents are taken out of the factory unauthorized. The regulations of security printing, I spoke to that when I spoke about the separation of the building, putting it together and separating it again. To say that the bill, State Security Printers Bill, was done by Home Affairs on behalf of GPW. It was presented to State Security. They raised quite a number of concerns with it, and their concern relates to issues of protection of state information in line with the MIS, the minimum standard, as well as issues relating to national strategic information management is their constitutional mandate. So what they can do is work with us to make sure we achieve what we want to achieve within those legislation instead of having competing legislation which has got constitutional implications. So currently the two legal teams are cleaning it up. They have indicated that on the 15th of October they'll give us a draft which will come in the form of either the state security as a bill or as regulation. So we are awaited to be guided. We will know by the 15th, 16th of October. Ongoing vetting of staff, it's ongoing. Just to give members, I know we will report in detail when we come for quarter two, but your concerns have been addressed. Contractors that we have all been vetted. 101 of them are complete. Fidelity, who does our physical security, Gopano, who does our internal audit service, Supercare, who does our cleaning, and Commerce, who does our canteen. All of their staff that have any access to GPW have been vetted. And then the rest, I think, we will give you as part of quarter two report. The Pavilion 3, as I indicated, is ending in December, and transfer of equipment that is sitting down at the factory in Bosman, which is Bosman and Jora Mokgase, which is where the exam papers are also done, will be dismantled and reconfigured at Pavilion 3 between December and January. So eventually, Chair, by June next year, we're going to find ourselves all operating in Fisage Street and giving back Bosman to Public Works. We intend to move all administration as part of security enhancement to move them out of Pavilion 123, which is where production of IDs, passports, and all security documents happen. So including me, or including the CEO who will be there, will move to the APSA building to occupy. Professional services have been appointed. We are waiting for them to give us their input so that we can do refurbishment, and all admin staff who are located in the two factories must be in one place away from production. In terms of the construction of the master plan, as I reported earlier on, we have approved. It's sitting with Public Works. The scheduled completion is 2021, but there is a delay, so we even thinking at the rate that Public Works is going, we might have a challenge, but we have indicated, our executive authority has indicated that she will have bilaterals with the Minister of Public Works on this issue. We are also working, as CFO mentioned, the issue of localization. As the billions that I've been mentioning, it's all people coming from outside, Germany, Netherlands, China, wherever. So we felt as the ESCO that we have a responsibility to make sure that we begin to ensure that some of the machines that can be manufactured in South Africa needs to. So we will have to have a process of how we phase out some of the things. Because the example is the polycarbon data card, which is used to produce IDs. We buy it from Switzerland, but we can have a plant and produce it here with the help of the company while the contract is running, and eventually create jobs and get that thing run here. The third one is with regard to our footprint. Swaziland is still pending, as we have reported in the last one. We are still pursuing. Our deputy minister is assisting us, but we haven't had anything official where they grant us the contract. The Mauritius, we engaged them in September, delegation led by the DG in the Office of the Prime Minister. They are requesting an MOU with GPW to print, not to print, but to manufacture their passport, their refugee passport, their security document, and all they do is personalization. The legal team is busy drafting that MOU. So in terms of our Africa footprint, we will continue to pursue the two, but in our APP, we'll probably add one more that we must pursue and make sure we achieve by 2018-19 financial year. The one of the issue of SOC initially was that we want to go international, and just to give members comfort that we do not need to be an SOC to extend our footprint in the African continent. The last issue is that to deal with some of the record management issues AG raised, we are automating a lot of the things in finance and HR as part of our next APP, things like leave and payments and whatever, so that we don't have problems when the AG wants documents. Chair, thank you. That's my presentation.
No, it's, thank you very much. Honorable members, we wanted to deal with this straight away now, or have both presentations and attack all of them at the same time. Welcome, Honorable Kakana.
Yeah, Chair. I suggest that we deal with this presentation, and then thereafter we'll go to another presentation.
Agreed?
No.
Honorable Mkalipi.
Thank you, Chair. I suggest that let us take both presentations and then we deal with them at the same time.
Okay, now I've heard both of you. Who is prepared to withdraw? Look at each other and decide who withdraw. Before I bring other members to vote.
Chair.
Yeah.
No, let's try to convince each other than we. I believe that all these presentations, they are so very important, and we should not put time before this because of we will be not doing justice to oversight. I can tell you that this thing of irregular expenditure needs to be expedited very, 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 very well, because I'm coming from another committee now, gave us the same report. I thought that we will take a smaller than a time, and it came otherwise. So I request that we deal with this one properly, please. Just understand what we're supposed to do here.
Start by saying Honorable Tope.
Honorable Tope.
Yes.
Yes.
And Chair, I'm
Kalipi
now.
I've changed
my
name. Okay. She's Kalipi now. Honorable Kalipi, please.
Honorable.
Honorable Kalipi.
Kalipi, please. Honorable in front.
Please, let's deal with this one and we will go to another one. We must make sure that our oversight is done 100%. That is my request, Honorable.
Do you have any motivation before I divide the house?
No, no, Chair. No, Chair. I'm flexible. I can allow him with his suggestion, but I thought every member was taking some notes while the presentation was continuing. So I thought it's going to be very easy to just to get IEC, and then when IEC is finished, so we're going to engage both of them. But okay, I think he wants to go back to a committee. That is the main reason, but it's fine.
I think we should not join in the guesswork. I think Honorable Mkhalipi has conceded, not necessarily withdrawal, but conceded that we deal with the GPW. Agreed?
Agreed?
Can you start, Honorable Kekana?
No,
then you'll be followed by Kenya. Is Kekana, Kenya, then Figland, then who else? Then Mkalipi. We did not hear you. Figland, Mkalipi, then there's Gumede. At least Honorable Hussein is sparing us some 10 minutes today. In that order.
Thank you.
Yes, Chair. I know you want them.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Yes.
I think that the acting CEO has a mammoth task. I know he is a good administrator, and maybe she is supposed to take this very, very serious. I can see even the interventions plan. But you know, I wanted to start here, whereby we see 181 million irregular expenditure. It's terrifying to see this thing. And when I go through my notes and try to get sense of this, I found that the previous CEO was fired and then given a 2-month salary for doing this corruption. It's terrifying. And I don't see anyone of your CEO and CFO and the entire leadership trying to follow this. this was a good handshake of doing corruption. I think that to remedy this situation, you must press charges, and the asset forfeiture is still waiting against these people. It's high time now you must know that it's no longer accepted that people will do corruption and resign in terms of the CFO. Once a person resigns, follow him through police. So, because I can tell you that I attended more than four committees with the same report, I was thinking that our ministers are the ones that are taking this thing. But now, I came to the conclusion that is the your officials who are stealing money from the government. I can give you the different reports you will see. But at the same time, equally the ministers are to be blamed because are the ones who are not doing their oversight perfectly. You see, if someone resigned in this scenario, you follow him through the police. Press criminal charges, the man must be returned to the entity, which means the asset forfeiture must be roped in to make sure that there's a stability in our country and people will no longer be able to steal because they will know that what will happen thereafter. And in reading some of your intervention plans, I need clarity, Acting CEO. I wanted to know, after you dissolved the procurement committee, what happened to them? Because you can't just dissolve them while there's a corruption. I thought maybe after you have dissolved, all of them that are home, suspended, without salary, and quick disciplinary action must be taken. You cannot take a year to resolve this matter. You can never take a year to resolve this matter. We should not be smiling or romancing corruption. We should be tough and clear. Because now, if someone reads this report, will think that all this money disappeared under your leadership, Acting CEO Tanti. And I was thinking like that. But doing a research is when I found that it's an Acting CEO. Then you automatically become a victim of maladministration. This is a serious maladministration, and that must not be promoted. So I can see that you said that there's a consecutive management in action. I don't know for how many months. When I was still in that side of you to deal with the matter, it was less than 3 months to me with these matters. And I believe that you know that a good management we will not take a year. I was terrified. That side, someone stole 56 million and they took 2 years to follow that person. In fact, they left him. They only fired and gave him money. What is the money for after corruption? Please let me just get this clarity, and if I'm not clarified very well, I will come back. I thank you, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Kenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think also where I was also, that is what I was also concerned about, this audit opinion, what Kikane has just said. It was also, I had the problem of saying, if there's the dissolution of procurement committee,
Therefore, there must be something done thereafter now that she has even raised that issue. Because you can't say we have dissolved, as you can see, that appears from page 1, 2, 3, 4, saying the same thing about this dissolution and this replacement by the consequence management. But the consequence management, to my understanding, it starts from October, which to my understanding, we are only a few days from October. 45th today is the 5th or 4th today, so mean that that's a few days that is that consequence management is in place. What happened really to those that the procurement committee? Because really we are concerned about the disciplinary actions here, so there's a lot that is happening. Also on the issue of this entrepreneur, when I talk about this to the whole page talks to or to the non-compliance of the of the supply chain management. For example, when you look at these conditions, as he has said, this 181, look at the BBEE points 135, 162, deviation from quantity bidding, not justifiable, because 12, 7, 17, so big numbers. When you look at those two bullets, that talks to a large amount, which is amounting to C181 because of those big amounts. Yes, I also understand that talks to that, but I don't understand even those quotations because, as we know, that the quotations are really in a legislative manner. So you can't say now there were no three quotations. Why are there no quotations? Why are there, how can the contract be awarded without all these things? And secondly, also I have a problem. There are also foreign suppliers here, foreign suppliers with no tax clearances. How can you give a contract to somebody without a tax clearance in the first place? That also makes us that's why we are so concerned, because the foreign supplier is here, now they are granted the contract without confirming the state, the tax status. What understands that? And that also is, we are very concerned about those things. And even on the issue of interventions, as much as there are interventions, but you don't see the interventions on the issues, especially that are of value. When you talk even about the foreign suppliers, I don't say we can't have some foreign suppliers, but you don't see why that is corruption. To take somebody from another country now, tax clearance in our country. Really, that is disappointing. Also, in another page talks about the criminal checks performed after an employee was appointed. There are interviews being done here, but how can you appoint somebody now? Then shortlisting, then interviews are being taken. And then they say, how can we employ somebody who now the criminal checks can be done after being employed? And then my question is, after that, what do you do? Now, there's the person employed already, appointed. Now, there are criminal charges. What do you do in that case if the criminal checks can be performed after the employee has been already appointed? Also, talking to, and also I just want to check what was the nature of the material assessment that GPW had to make in strategic management finance branches. I think another one. That is all for now, Chairperson.
Honorable Figa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm not going to ask lots of questions, but I want to say good luck to the acting CEO. Hopefully you might get the job. I hope your name is on the list too.
And
I hope her name is on the list. Applied. I wanted to apply and then say, yes, I have applied.
Okay. It's already closed.
If it's already closed, we can reopen it. Okay. I just want clarity on page 8 where you say 11% of the item was dependent on the completion of the construction. And I believe you say by December 2017, I don't know if it's phase 3 that will be done and then everything will be up to date. Can you give us a surety if that will be finished, that construction will be finished? Then the other question, what are the outstanding 20% of the security risk management plan and by when this be completed. Okay. What disciplinary measures were there for the non-verification of BBBE supporting document for contract amounting to 135 million? Thank you, Chairperson. I'll stand there for the questions.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'm partly covered by Honorable Kenya and Honorable Keka on their engagement with the GPW. But my observation, acting, but I thought you were already appointed. So, my observation, it's exactly on page 13, but you have chosen to put it in a way that you talk about management, leadership capacity and skills at SMS level. But when I listen to you elaborating on the challenges that we are facing, it's clear that one of the problems is that we are not even a CEO, we are acting. So to me, it seems as if you are powerless in some of the things that you're supposed to take, especially when it comes to make sure that your entity is well looked after. I don't know, that is my observation, because when you also elaborated about that CFO, is it CFO? And then after you advised the minister, and then she advertised the post after he demanded to be appointed for 5 years. So after the post was advertised, then he resigned. So it seems as if there are so many problems, and if we don't have leadership that are there in full time with all powers, it's going to be continuing like this. Although I can see that we are trying by all means. You know, you can see when a person is trying to put things together, but when it comes to powers that are given to you, it's very difficult to make sure. But as my Honorable said, good luck. I hope you have applied for the job. We hope this thing will be corrected in once we have a permanent person. But coming to the AG's report, you know the document that you just circulated to us, this one. I think, as Mom Kenya was elaborating, I was saying the same thing, that no, is well and good. But the question that arises is that you didn't know about all those things, all those procedures, until the AG pointed out to you. It's well and good that you have this intervention that you have come up with, but the most important thing is that it can't be that we must wait for the AG just to point things of irregular expenditures. Automatically it will lead to a fraud, because when you look at page 20 of the AG's report, the AG said under government printing works 145 million. Of 149 million, 135 million relates to an ongoing contract identified. And when I was listening to you, as Mom Kenya was also saying, that those foreign people who are interested in bidding, those Netherlands and what, it seems as if you are very lenient to them. Because if the AG is pointing to you, CFO, to say that, but where is the tax clearance? And your justification is to say that, no, I have not awarded the contract. Okay, before I have awarding the contract, they have also given me a tax clearance. Surely, they were not even prepared to submit the tax clearance. And it's one of your duty to make sure that everyone is complying with what is supposed to be complied with in front of you before the AG appoint to you, this is needed. So I think it's those things that these two honorables are talking about, to say that there is something that is lacking. And I'm not convinced about also this document, as Honorable Kekan is saying, that no, it's supposed to have people who have been arrested already. This is a lot of money. Just to say that, okay, now you have taken into consideration what is the AG is saying, and therefore you have a strategic intervention. To me, is not
at all. So you're supposed to have telling us that, okay, what measures or what we have done so far in order to make sure that anyone is not going to do the same thing that was done by the previous employer. You are speaking about your acting. She's permanent, and then you are so impressed about her. I wanted to ask if she's not in probation, because you also been impressed that she has produced such beautiful document for you. Maybe she's still in probation. She's still impressing, but good luck. I believe Gwimbogote would okay. Gwimbogote will excel. So those are the things that maybe the committee would like to get a clarity with Ms. Tandi, especially about that 135 million, this BBEE supporting documents. Because we can't just say, okay, it's fine, we have come with strategies, intervention strategies, but what measures of disciplinary have you taken against those people who didn't comply and so on and so forth in order to... Okay, about the bill that you said you have presented the bill in front of the cabinet, and then they told you that you must go and change one or two, three. So now, because we are saying on our presentation, you are expected to finalize, the parliament supposed to finalize in 2017. So we are towards the end of the year now. I don't know if you also have told us a good thing. So what is the way forward now, since the cabinet has said that you must go and redo it again? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And thank you to the CEO for the presentation. And what are supporting the concerns around the issue of both of corruption and perceived corruption? I think people should understand that when we get these irregular expenditures around supply chain management, you've got to take it with the understanding of what the climate is around the country in terms of corruption. Everyone is talking about corruption, whether you go to church, whether you go to weddings, you go everywhere, and we are perceived to be a corrupt country. So when now we get presented with these things, really, I think it has got to be to be minimized by everyone in society, and including you. But having said that, I think your efforts in Swaziland and in Mauritius and that expansion, the country really needs it, and I know that other countries are perhaps having kickbacks to these other countries, to other printers in other countries, maybe having kickbacks to the other countries, and then to us we interpret kickbacks as corruption. So now, but they were ordinary in the way where I was working, at where the supply chain manager used to get kickbacks from different things. I don't know who has worked in the private sector, but it was normal. So now to compete without kickbacks in the private sector, I'm not saying in the government, in the private sector sometimes may be very, very, very difficult. But on a serious note, I think the real issue which is going to be a critical marketing strength will be the issue of security and perceived security, particularly around documentation. And then now, if the Auditor General says that they are not satisfied about the internal audit, particularly around the issues of security, without specifying what around security they are talking about, we get concerned. Perhaps if we could be clarifying What exactly are around security? What are they talking around security? Is it around the leakage of examination papers, for instance, the ID documents or whatever? But we've got to understand, because and it is your responsibility to put your potential market at ease when they come and say they want you to produce documents for them. So I think it would be very, very much helpful to have that understanding. And lastly, I think I support this thing, consequence management. I also value the issue of experienced top management that works as a team. So I do not know how many people have been the turnover distinct rate, because sometimes you may be correcting one thing and then on the other you end up not being able to produce. If you get what I mean. I'm not condoning some specific actions like supply chain irregularities and so forth. But at the same time, are you not faced with this balance of maintaining a capable team against having to manage consequences of the actions of some of your senior leadership? But otherwise, thank you for the work you are doing around the passports and then the ID documents, which are so far not really forged, and the turnaround time too. There are not much delays for people without complications in their identity. I received mine in 3 days, and a lot of people have told me that no, they are receiving them within a week or 3 days. So that is very good. It means that you have got a very capable team. But let us make sure that now we keep everything balanced, and then this department was most of the time clean. What makes it perhaps this emphasis of matter has got to be put in context and clarified, because otherwise, if it is not put into context, then there is this ugly label of corruption. And it's becoming ugly in the public. You read every newspaper, government captured, government corrupt. And even people, when we hear in some meetings, they say, hey, but you are corrupt. And we have to explain ourselves now. You see, so this thing is not located only within you. It affects everybody. So it's important to highlight this, but it's also very important to put everything into context. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Sorry, Chairperson, I thought that I have gotten something just one. On the issue of reasons for non-achievement of the target, on page 9, I forgot to ask this question. I had it also on my list. There is that 36 million of irregular expenditure relating to the appointment of a construction service provider for the Pavilion 3. I don't know whether it is also, yes, I see the 181 that we are talking about, but now I don't see it anywhere else. And maybe if you can, because at the same time, Ms. Moyo, you are very good in explaining, ne? Maybe explain it while we are elaborating, because you can explain it verbatim. So some of the issues here, you really trust them. Our careers through your explanation, but I forgot to ask what happened to that Pavilion 3, 36 million, also original expenditure that makes it not to achieve the target. I also heard you talking about a head that doesn't understand the issues. Now I don't know in the human resources. Now I'm still asking myself, who is the head who doesn't understand the issues? How can we have a head that doesn't understand the issues when there are those subordinates who understand what is taking place, but being at the head, not knowing what the issues are, just for those two. Thank you, Chairperson.
Uh, Okay. Thank you very much, honourable members. I think from my side is what I've just picked up is that we had a CFO who is corrupt in the mind and just simply didn't do the right things and did not even have a contract and worked for years without a contract but functioning as a CFO. Technically unemployed by GPW, but doing work and committing GPW to suppliers and the rest. I think that's the situation that I think I'm picking up, that you are saying. And then again is that you had some deputy director who could not live up to the expectation. That's what also I'm picking up. Now we have a CFO who knows what she's doing, and then she's unearthing all these things. Then it should be correct that from what members are saying that no, you must put certain people under the bus, throw them under the bus. Then a possibility is that you must institute some sort of an investigation and investigate the circumstances around the non-signing of the contract and the implication of the signature of that person who actually was not an employee of GPW, and then and see and have a holistic approach of resolving that matter, because you may find that there are quite a good number of things around him. I hope it's a him. And because it looks like now there is a view now of actually populating GPW with ladies. And it's not a problem. I think it should be a welcomed development. No, men have been employed for quite a long time with the ladies staying at home. Now is their time, they must be employed. And even if it's 100% ladies, in any entity, it shouldn't be a problem. It's empowerment. Yes. And then I also just want to reiterate as well, in relation to the new market, to actually enhance your business, it is correct what the Comrade Gumede said. You are going to sell the security, performance in security in your workshops and management of all the work and the products that you are doing, and also integrity of your institution. Those are the two things that you are going to sell. If those things they are not right, you're going to find it very difficult to find the clients outside. I think you need to be very jealous as a CEO for those two things. Otherwise, then you're not going to have any business. Even you see, I'm sure you should have picked up that the performance of public works for the past 10 years or so has not been up to scratch to other departments. And certain departments have opted out of public works. They are doing construction for themselves. Yes. Because now they can't rely on public works. The integrity of public works in terms of delivering accommodation for other departments in time is very low. Therefore, other departments have actually decided to opt out from getting those services through public works. So it's the integrity. It is also important. I think that we just need to. Yeah, I think those are just the two things that I just wanted to raise. And you can attempt to respond. Although there is just one thing which I'm sure is maybe should also be raised is that you were saying also that you as an acting CEO, your term is coming to an end as well. over and above that you are acting, is that that acting term is also coming to an end. Hence the senior management level challenges that you are actually talking about. Okay, sure.
Thanks, honorable members. I'm going to allow the CFO to deal with all the finance matters. I'll come back and deal with all the leadership management and governance issues.
Thank you. I will address the issue of the foreign suppliers first. In terms of the National Treasury prescripts, there was never a requirement for a foreign supplier to be registered with the South African Revenue Service. That only came into effect June 2017. So in the past, if you transact with someone outside of the country, you never had to get the tax clearance. It's only if you transact with someone within the Republic that you would get a tax clearance from. With regards to the Procurement Committee was dissolved firstly because of the challenges that we picked up with the irregular expenditure. That committee looked at all procurement between 2,000 and less than 500,000. So we, above 500,000, we had a BEC and a BAC, which looked at that. So that committee then looked at your normal day-to-day procurement less than 500. But the committee did not compose of people knowledgeable with regards to SEM. It was people pulled from various functions within the GPW. We then took a decision to say that we centralize the issuing of purchase orders to the supply chain management unit because it's a procurement function that they are performing until we capacitate other officials with knowledge on SEM for them to then start, because that committee would then look at compliance to all the SEM prescripts and so forth. So that committee also looked at three quotations not being obtained. But because the Act allows you to not get three quotes in certain cases. So it's regarded as a deviation. For example, if you have a sole supplier or a sole source supplier, you cannot get quotations from anyone else. But there should be a delegation within the department or within the GPW to give that approval. Now, that delegation was not in place until we did it in July 25. So that committee then acted outside of their delegated power. That was also one of the reasons that we dissolved the procurement committee. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. Let me start with the questions of Honorable Kekana to say that I think we can give you an assurance that us as GPW management and me personally will do everything to fight corruption. And you are correct with the comments that you have raised that there has been irregular expenditure according to AG's reports, but what we are unearthing, we will probably, with the reports that we are now commissioning, get probably maladministration and maybe even fraudulent things. Both the CEO and the CFO, and I know that when I report to my accounting officer is often is that I'm protecting the former CEO. The former CEO is a medical doctor and had a CFO who took over running GPW. So I do sometimes feel for him that he was just given something to sign when he was not given the opportunity to understand the content. It's his responsibility to understand, but the CFO basically ran the entire organization. So when I came in, I had to dismantle that power base and give everybody. They had no delegation. He signed everything for everybody. For all the GMs didn't even have any right to tell somebody your function has changed. you are doing someone else's function, I'm now going to say. So that was one thing that I had to fight, basically, and say, you are CFO, you come out of ICT. All these regular contracts were done during them. I'm reporting there because I've assumed responsibility. But the things happened in 2015, 2016. I came in May 2016, which was after the audit is completed. So even what you are seeing now is as a consequence of that those historical things. But we do take the responsibility and accountability and the punches. Yes, the CEO did not perform according to the executive authority. Many meetings were held, many assessments were held. As a result, the minister decided to put in what we call the Ministerial Advisory Council, which had they were all external and one person from ministry. And the chair of that advisory council was somebody with a legal governance background. It had a member with ICT in it. It had a member with security printing from banknote. It had a member with finance, audit, and risk. And the aim was to make sure that the CEO can have a team they account to, in addition to the audit committee and the risk, that can give the executive authority comfort that the organization is functioning. The CEO didn't accept that. The advisory council said without him, and the CFO went to report. But I leave it to them because it was a boss-employee issue that they eventually got to the point where they said, look, let's part ways. And they parted ways, and indeed he was paid till the end of his contract, which was 6 months. Then in terms of the CFO, I've explained what has happened, and he didn't apply. Prior to his departure, I did sit with him together with the chairperson of the Ministerial Advisory Council to indicate that up to the point where he was, we are picking up, that there are contracts, those that the AG is mentioning now, by ICT contracts, software contracts, pavilion 3 contracts that have got challenges, and we are going to put an investigation. So CFO has even unearthed more this week. We are going to sit with a legal team that helps us to follow up and do criminal charges on the CFO. They will guide us what we do with the CEO. In terms of dissolution of committees and duration of disciplinary action and what we do with the committee members. In terms of, there were four committees members that I wanted to share with you, that there was a bid specification committee. And that was not in place. So as a result, it left individuals to write the bid spec as per what they want. And eventually, if they have arrangements, it means that thing can go whatever way. We put the bid specification committee. It's on now. So if the originator of the project comes, they must motivate to that high-level committee. Why did they put this requirement? Do we really need them? Which is why with that equipment that we did not achieve under production, that's what had happened. An individual had done this bid. It went out. And then I said, no, I can't pay $200,000. Let's re-advertise. The bid committee reduced a lot of the things that were in there. We didn't need them. But the committee, the bid committee is in place. There's a procurement committee that set and decided give this order to this one. They don't follow 3 codes. Junior staff in finance, HR, some of them are in the factory. So the question was, what does people in the factory got to do with procurement. So we dissolved it. And CFO, from 1 April she started, 1 May, every day for an hour, everybody who wants an order out sits with her and explains, and she checks whether 3 codes were followed and everything else. But there was some team that was established by a former CFO that I had to dissolve, because they are the ones who caused why not 3 codes. If they issue an order and they don't have 3 codes, what you bring afterwards, you are late. It's already regular.
Make sure that around 12 o'clock we are done.
Okay. Then the bid evaluation committee, we dissolved it and brought a new one. The bid evaluation adjudication, we also dissolved it and brought a new one. We have a member of the bid evaluation committee who leaked information on one tender, security tender, gave it to one, gave everything to one supplier. And when I decided that I wasn't going to continue with that tender, I'm re-advertising, we were challenged legally. We ended up getting a forensic audit, which pointed to this one member. We got the charges, we charged him, we suspended him, we had hearings. The report of the chairperson didn't find him guilty. I've rejected it. I've gone to labor court to get that report set aside, because the forensic is very clear that he definitely gave them information the BEC unauthorized, which we've got that. And honorable, so that will answer some of the questions that honorable Kenya had indicated. Tax clearance, I think, is clear. Members should remember that the tax clearance laws are governed by the country. So you, if you are a company in Germany, you'll have a tax clearance in Germany, but not in another country. So now South Africa has introduced, you must have clearance in both. So there must be SARS in Germany and SARS here under this new law. So we have complied with anything else after the directive came. We will report to you in the current. But members, in the last 50 years of GPW, all the machines are from overseas. So it's not suppliers as normal things. It's your ID, the machines that produce ID, passports, everything. They, all of them 100% done from external. That's why I mentioned localization, that we have to make sure some of these machines are done in South Africa to avoid some of these things. The issue about material adjustment on strategy management, it relates to issues of security, where they said in their plan that they will have a roller, that security roller machine where a person, when they go through, it can pick up whether you have something that is not in the bags. And they wanted to put one at Visage, at reception. And we were saying, if you put one now and you spend money, in 6 months we're moving to APSA building. It's going to be fruitless expenditure. So hold that project. What AG was saying is that we were supposed to go to minister and seek approval, and we didn't. Our argument with them was that you seek minister's approval and parliament's approval if you want to amend the APP. This was an operational matter. It was not an APP matter. But we stopped explaining that the annual reports about APP, not operational plan. But we left basically to them to make the final, but we still don't agree. All the issues they are speaking to are, you didn't put, they wanted to put a camera when you enter through the stairs in Visage. And I'm saying all these admin people level 1 and 2 are leaving, they are going across. If you're going to spend all these monies, it's fruitless expenditure. So we were trying to balance between fruitless expenditure and what was on the paper. And AG does not want to understand those issues. You wrote, answer, bring it. I don't want to hear stories. With regard to the matter that's raised by MAPK of page 20, I've explained Pavilion 3. The AG also indicated that, which is a sentence I liked, that you can't beat a person many times on the same issue, that you know. We in terms of consequence again on corruption, we have a deputy director that stole 700 visas. So what he was doing is a section manager is he was producing a bit more, and then he would sell it to wherever his market is. He had a syndicate in Tena. Something went wrong in the syndicate. They alerted us and we trapped him. We prepared some and did additional. And indeed, on the day when we got the tip, we were ready with all the law enforcement. They captured him at home, right-handed. He was arrested at home. We fired him in 3 days' time. And we advertised the post. The criminal process is continuing. Home Affairs is leading because the documents belong to them. We are the production, but we are both together on that criminal case. We're getting someone starting now on the 1st of October. In terms of the committee members, they all, I need to say we have to follow Labor Relations Act when we take disciplinary action. So for GM, HR, Director, Supply Chain, and all the members who were in those committees that issues those things that were not without a court, we are currently dealing with them. They have been given verbal notice. They have been given written warning and indication and intention to suspend. We've given them an opportunity to tell us why we shouldn't suspend. All their response relate to one answer, that CFO brought a legal firm, which that legal firm's appointment is part of irregular expenditure. And now that irregularly appointed legal team gave us wrong legal opinion that made us get this 149 legal irregular expenditure. Now, in terms of action on the former CFO and criminal charges, that's one issue. So is that Pavilion 3? It's the ICT contracts that are there. We will action the guidance you have given us, Chair, around the five things of integrity, performance, productivity, and security that you've given. We will continue to fight with Public Works. CFO is permanent. She came from Home Affairs permanent. So, yes, in terms of the public service regulation, she is on probation, but she's permanently appointed. And as we know, probation is guided by performance. And I'm hoping she'll continue to... But corruption, we can give you assurance that we will not tolerate. We will give you more reports when we come for quarter two in terms if there's anything that we might not have done. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. I think this document, I think it has got quite a good, a lot of information, which I think, honorable members, then you'll process this and make sure that we put together effective recommendations in the report. And whatever what we want them to do to solve their problems, we can capture that in the recommendations and make sure that we get it on the BRR report. And then we should be able to get this sorted out. That's why I'm stopping you, because we can't go overboard, because we still have to deal with the IEC. And probably, I'm sure, they want to go home as long as they've been around here. And we are having problems of water in Cape Town, you know. it is not confidential. I think it's the mayor has gone out and on a press briefing, I think, yesterday. And she really went for a long time explaining all the challenges of water, and that by next year, March, and then we may not be having a drop to drink, and explaining stage one, stage two, what are the consequences of those. So it's... the quicker we finish with IEC and then they fly back to Joburg, then a couple of liters of water can be saved. Okay, I think we should say thank you for having presented and also attempted to answer the questions of deeds that you are not party to, and but I mean it's when you come in then you take over even all the ills of that particular institution and then take action. And I think we will try and get a lot more clarity from the minister about the bill, because it looks like it's beyond your control. This issue of the bill, the to and fro movement and the confusion of interventions from other departments who are supposed to be party to the discussions, then I think the minister would probably explain what is it that she expects to happen, and so that we don't pressurize you. And when you have got some stumbling blocks outside your institution, and we will make a follow-up. But what I understood from you is that it looks like you're no longer going the SOC route. You're going to stay as a government component, but then you're going to be given some sort of exemptions on certain things that formed part of the reasons why you wanted to opt out. And let's hope that everything is legal. But in any way, when we're dealing with the BMA, we did have a lot of cry from COSATU about the SOC or about defining these entities outside the public service, and then they were really fighting seriously. And I think the route that you think you're going to take, I'm sure it will actually keep COSATU. And nowadays with SAFTU, software that has just been born outside the gate of parliament, because the root of SOC was just going to invite them in. Okay. No, thanks. I think, honorable members, we need to get lunch if AD has performed. We need to get lunch now and then for some 30 minutes. Yes, and then outside, and then just try to look for lunch just outside. If it's not there, we better wait there.